The KJ Wright Show
on Seattle Sports.
The ball is intercepted. KJ Wright reaches up about 13 feet in the air.
Number 50.
Now every Wednesday with Brock and Salk.
Hey, I like that.
Brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino.
How do I like that? I like that a lot. It's KJ Wright for a full hour here with Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. SeattleSports.com. And KJ, we're getting news. We had so many other things to talk about today, but huge news potentially as Tom Pelissero and others reporting that Mike McDonald is going to interview for the second time with the Seahawks today.
Yeah.
Now, he's not the first to do a second interview. This is the same process they've gone through with everybody, but no one else has done it on back-to-back days.
That's what I said.
And no one else has flown. You know, they flew all the way there. Now he's flying all the way here. It sure feels like there's a lot of momentum for this to get done, maybe even by the end of the day today.
Yes, and there's no reason for them to bring him out here unless they really liked him, unless they really loved his philosophy, loves what he brings to the table. And you're talking about back-to-back days. And just come on the plane with us. No need to fly on your own private plane. We got a plane for you.
Mm-hmm.
And come meet the crew. Come meet Sammy and the guys, the athletic training staff, the weight room, the nutritionists, everyone. And so this is exciting. It's getting close. And I feel like there's no reason for Mike McDonald to fly out here and then potentially go back. Just pack up your suit. Let's get this deal done.
Does this feel like a John Schneider move?
Because
I know for a couple weeks, KJ, you have said Dan Quinn. Yep. And Dan Quinn would be comfortable for you, for me, for Salk. I think for the community, though, there has been some, hey, if you're going to hire Dan Quinn, just keep Pete Carroll. There's certainly been some of that. But doesn't this kind of feel like an outside-the-box John Schneider kind of move?
And I'll tell you this. When I asked John Schneider a question about a year or two ago, I asked him why he took a certain player in the draft. And he said simply because he's the best player on the board. He's the best player available. And when you look at what John Schneider is doing, his patience, his due diligence, he is simply going to take the best candidate that he feels is on the board. And the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding when it comes to his defense. We're talking a bad, bad defense this past year. Doing it with a bunch of just, I'm not going to say Jags, but doing it with some guys that are not just high-profile type of defensive players. He did it with those group of guys. See his personality. See that he did at the college level, at the pro level. He comes from a phenomenal culture, a phenomenal organization, the Isaac Newsoms, the Harbaughs. And so it's really exciting to see that potentially he is our guy. And I believe that everyone in the city of Seattle would be on full board and full go with bringing him in.
You know what strikes me, KJ, and I just thought about this along those lines? Who hammered the Seahawks this year? Who humiliated them this year?
Yeah, it was like a big sledgehammer against an ant. That's what the Baltimore Ravens did against us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, can we not move the ball?
Nothing. Couldn't function.
Why do they have 17 guys on defense and we only have two? That's what it looks like out there. And just completely just, like you said, hammered
annihilated us.
And so you get away from Baltimore. You come over here and let's annihilate the San Francisco 49ers. Let's annihilate the Los Angeles Rams because we're going against a really tough division. We're going against some really, really phenomenal offensive coordinators, and we need someone younger, someone new, someone with this really creative mind to come in here. Let's get this thing back on track.
So tell me a little bit about that Baltimore defense and what it is you liked about it. You say that they weren't a ton of stars, but certainly at the linebacker position, they had a couple. I mean, Roquan Smith's one of the best in the league. He's a bad man. Mm-hmm. And also
Humphrey at corner's a great corner.
Patrick Queen drafted right around the same time as Jordan Brooks was. I mean, they got some guys.
They have three.
You played with Clowney, right?
I did play with Clowney.
Why does that make you laugh?
Don't do me like that.
I'm not.
Salk, why you got to do him like that? Seriously.
I swear to you, I'm not trying to do you in any way.
No, you are, Salk. I can feel it, too.
What are you trying to do?
Brock, he gave me that infamous smile that he does.
You think that I'm smiling at you. Honestly, I was smiling because I couldn't remember if he was here the year that you were gone.
KJ, you played with Jadeveon and Sheldon, right? Sheldon Richardson?
You have one of those things. I don't remember that. You people think I'm much more malevolent than I am.
All right. I'm not here to throw Clowney under the bus.
Okay,
No. I'm going to answer the question.
All right.
I played with Jadeveon Clowney in 2019. I loved him. He kicked butt versus the San Francisco 49ers. I'm like, can we get this guy each and every game day? And
is it telling then that he did have a great year this year under Mike McDonald. Does that mean something?
Yeah, let me finish my story.
Okay,
let me
finish my story.
I played in the NFL for 11 years. I kid you not. I've never had a guy on the football field ask me, what is the play? What do I do more than Jadeveon Clowney? I said, bro, they about to snap the ball, and you looking at me saying, bro, what do I do? You dropping hot, too. Rush the passer. You got a spike. I love Clowney. That's my dude. But I'm like, my guy, they're about to snap the ball, and you asking me, what do you have? I got to worry about what I got. And so I did play with Clowney.
Yeah.
He is he's a talent.
He's a physical freak, right?
He's a physical freak. Pass rushing. You know, let's just say this. Mike McDaniel made Jadeveon Clowney look really good this year. Yeah. Clowney did his part.
I swear to you, you think I was trying to, like, dig into something like that. I did not know that. Uh-uh. I had no idea that story was in there.
It's just our intuition is connected. We're just connected. Yeah. You knew I was about to say something.
Maybe I did. Maybe I felt that there was something in there that was waiting to come out. Does it mean something to you that he had that much success with those kind of linebackers and all of that? What do you get out of his defense when you watch it?
And I went and watched I watched Kyle Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I watched the way he utilized Kyle Hamilton. Had him in deep third. Had him covering man-to-man, blitzing him a lot. Kyle Van Noy, Jadeveon Clowney. Like, he really brought guys to life. And Roquan Smith, he had his man in the middle. You're the guy. You're the alpha male. You get everyone lined up. You get everyone directed on this football field. And so when you talk about you got to have guys to bring your defense to life. And so I believe that everyone with the Baltimore Ravens did their part this football season. Very frustrating watching them face the Kansas City Chiefs. But 0 points? 0 points in the second half? Is that a fact? Is that a correct stat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Against Patty Mahomes, Andy Reid? Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce, that's not easy to do. And so hats off to him. And it got to go down today. It has to go down.
Yeah, you got to make this decision. The calendar is turning, and the NFL never slows down every single day. Is it impressive? We just had Ross Tucker on last hour, and maybe next segment, KJ, we can dig into the traits that coaches have and those that have been the most impressive that you've been around. Does it strike you that the dude didn't even play football his senior year of high school?
Whoa. He
was injured his senior year of high school.
Oh, okay.
Didn't play in college, right? He's had to work his way up. He's a GA at Georgia with Mark Richt down there. And just is a guy that, you know, doesn't come in there with pelts on the wall from a football playing standpoint, and yet gets dudes to play at the level he has both in Michigan and at Baltimore.
Mm-mm. If you're a man, if you understand who you are as a human being, who you are as a coach, and you stand on that, and you know what the heck you're talking about, you will be well received from guys. But if you come in that room and you know, you say some off the wall stuff, you ask of something that we feel like we can't do as players, that's really hard to connect with. I've had coaches to ask something of me, and I'm like, I feel like I can do anything on the football field, but what you're asking of me, you're pushing it. You're really pushing it. And so I don't think that this is a Mike McDonald trait, a characteristic of him. We can see how he's brought guys to life at the college level, at the pro level, and he come from a good tree. And I believe that this, the toughness, if he does come here, the toughness. I hear about those Ravens training camps. Whoo, it's not fun, Salk.
It is not. They shouldn't be fun. You guys had too much fun in your day, KJ.
I think we did. I think we did.
Do you really?
I think we did. We didn't tackle. We didn't tackle. And I believe that those guys over there, they take guys to the ground.
Wow. Yeah.
They have a live period. Live! Everyone's live. Stay off the quarterback. I didn't tackle guys until preseason, game one. Or sometimes regular season, game one. Yep. And so it will be a different...
Good.
Type of energy.
I know Brock is going to like that. That's Brock's thing right there.
Tackling.
Yeah. Speaking my love language.
Yeah. Jeez. We're going to have to write the myfrontpagestory.com for Brock on that. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We got so much more to get to with KJ today. Why are we talking so much about Mike McDonald? Well, because he's on his way for a second interview today here in Seattle after having his first interview yesterday. If he wasn't their guy, you got to imagine they could have just said, all right, we figured out. We know who it is. We don't need to talk to him again.
Yep.
Let's get this done and go with Averro or whomever the case may be. The fact that he's back today sure feels like this is going to be how it goes down. We got more on that defense in Baltimore, what it could mean here in Seattle. And I'll give you another name. I wonder if we might end up talking about him more over the next few weeks, if and when Mike McDonald is announced. Tell you who that is next. It's KJ Wright Show, Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports at 710.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
If indeed Mike McDonald is the next coach of the Seahawks, is he going to bring anybody with him? Yeah, coaches are going to be one of the first places you go, right? Figure out who the rest of his staff would be, who his connections are, who he knows. But I couldn't help but think of a player that I know Mora has mentioned over and over again. And when it comes to players on other teams, I trust Mora's opinion probably more than anybody's, unless Brock happened to cover them in college.
Well, I mean, she is the people's champ. She's she is the station's champ. Yeah. I don't know, KJ, if you heard that or not. We all had a playoff bracket, and guess who won?
Yeah, no surprise. Yeah,
already won.
We have, we have the screen master and the playoff master.
That's right. So
they've been talking a lot of smack to me, KJ. All of a sudden, they're acting like they're nice now that you're here.
Are they still messing with you because you were late last week, Mara?
I was late, and then I kind of mixed up our guest, Ross Tucker, today and thought he was coming on yesterday.
Yeah, it's been a rough week.
Bullies, man. Y'all bullies.
That's all right, though. She went a little nuts today. She got her hair all done up. She's trying to fancy herself up to make up for it. So it's all good. Mora, how many times did you mention the name Justin Madubuike?
Oh.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Because I kept thinking they could have gotten him. What was he in the...
Yeah, that was that Jordan Brooks draft.
Yeah, that was the draft with the Ravens that we talked about. Every other pick, it was like, okay, so the Seahawks got Jordan, could have had Queen. The Seahawks took X, could have had Madubuike. Like, you
it
know,
was Daryl Taylor.
Yeah. Ooh, that one really stings. Madubuike is a free agent this year. Now they could tag him. They can franchise tag him. But don't you wonder with a new coach like that, if indeed it is McDonald? Do you think he brings in some of those guys? Does he bring in Patrick Queen? Does he bring in Justin Madubuike? Does he look to bring in some of the guys that know him and like him and had so much success in that defense?
He would love to bring in Justin, but I think we got to look at our defensive line. We've paid Draymond Jones big money. We've traded for Leonard Williams. We're going to pay Leonard Williams. Do you pay a third defensive interior lineman?
I don't know, but
and Jaren's got one more year at a pretty favorable number. I mean, still getting paid, but a good number.
Yeah, and with the way our salary cap set up, I don't know. I think we're at the bottom.
Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's Patrick Queen. And I don't know, maybe the Ravens have signed him to a long-term deal. I have to go look at that. But
they have not.
Okay. I mean, maybe he looks at it and says, need linebacker help here. Jordan Brooks may be the guy for Pete Carroll's scheme, but I know Patrick Queen's the guy for mine. Yeah. And maybe you do see some of those Ravens players make their way over. Brock, doesn't that usually happen with an ex-coach?
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to bring some people over. Can I just remind you of something, too, that I was just looking up during the break? Seattle Seahawks went to Baltimore. Seattle was 5-2. 5-2 when they went to a 6-2 Baltimore. I'm just looking at these numbers, dude. 29 first downs to 6. 1-for-12 on third down. 1 rushing first down. Had 6 first downs for the game, 150 yards to their 515, and they stepped off the gas. Remember that? They could have gone for 7.
They called the dogs off.
They could have gone for 700 yards that day. I mean, you were physically manhandled. You had nothing schematically that you could do against them.
Brock, they did this to a few teams this year. They did this to the Niners. They did this to a gang of teams out there this year. Just made them look like they were JV.
Yep. Can I ask you this, KJ? Just how important this trade is to you? Because we had a few people on. We had the Brady Henderson in Baltimore on with us early in the week. We just had Ross Tucker on last hour, who's been around Mike McDonald a bunch. And both of them basically said the same thing. He is not going to come in and overwhelm you like with a presence. You know, Ross didn't say he was an introvert like our other fella did. But he just said, gosh, he's great one-on-one. He knows his ball. How is he going to handle a team room? How is he going to handle a press conference? How is he going to handle a big group of people? Do you have to be that kind of guy that commands the room and changes the temperature, in your opinion?
I'll say this. There is something about guys having an underwhelming presence. I have seen coaches get up there, present, they are extremely underwhelming. Like, I'm not inspired. I'm not learning. I'm just on my phone. It's really hard to see some coaches get in front of a room and coach certain presentations. And then you have that next level where you have guys, okay, I'm present, I'm here, I'm listening. Like, you know what you're talking about, you're speaking well. And then you have that over-the-top type of guy, like, I'm all eyes, I'm all ears. Yeah. I feel you, I'm connecting with you, I can run through a brick wall for you. And so those are the three tiers when it comes to coaches leading and standing in front of a room. But if you're on that underwhelming side, that's we cannot have that. I don't care how good or great you are at X's and O's. I need you to put some bass in your voice. I need you to call guys out, and I need you to just be present and just have the attention of grown men in this team meeting room.
So if I understand you, there's three categories. As long as you're in the top two, that's okay.
Top
you don't, that doesn't need to be your strength, but it can't be a fatal flaw.
Yeah.
I think that's true. Like, I mean, that's sort of what we've talked about in so many other parts of leadership. And when I think I've mentioned to you guys this before, when I did some coaching training and leadership training a few years ago, that was the direction they took everybody. I said, look, they figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And they say, run towards your strengths, make them even better. Keep working to improve your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry as much about your weaknesses unless they are fatal flaws.
Yeah.
And if it's a fatal flaw, you've got to fix it or else nothing else you do will matter.
And I think you can say, listen, this is not a fatal flaw. If he did it at Michigan and took over after a lot of years when Don Brown was a coordinator and he was a big presence and he was fiery and he was all these things, and Jim Harbaugh went to his brother John and said, hey, man, I need to make a change. Can I have your linebacker coach? And John said, yeah, go take Mike. Mm-hmm. He's tremendous. And he did it in Michigan and turned them around and was a huge force in turning them around. And then he goes back to Baltimore. And as you said, man, look at what he did with Van Noy. Look what he did with Jadavian. Look what he did with Patrick Queen. Look what he did with that defense, KJ. Hard to imagine if it was a fatal flaw that he could have the success leading those groups he's done the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes, and the biggest question is, can you grow with your presence? Can you grow with the way that you lead? And when it comes to leading a football team, now look at Dave Canales. I was with Dave Canales my rookie year, and I saw Dave. He was in that. I'm gonna be honest. He was in that bottom category. Mm-hmm. He was in that bottom. Like, come on, Dave, you got to give us a little more. But then you see him grow. You see Coach Carroll give him more responsibilities. You see him lead the transition. And I'm like, okay, you're getting me. Like, I'm vibing with you. I'm rocking with you. And all of a sudden, Salk, you become a head coach.
Yeah.
You become a head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
He was in that bottom tier, even as good looking as he is.
Yes,
I would think that would, like, give somebody just the natural confidence to kind of.
He has eye candy.
He's a handsome dude.
I give him that.
Robert Saleh is going to be so mad that Dave Canales is the head coach. Like, now all of a sudden there's somebody to challenge him. If I'm Robert Saleh, I'm super mad about this Dave Canales thing. Like, he looked the best.
Canales is crushing Saleh. Come on now.
You thought Saleh was the best looking coach in the league?
Yeah.
Really?
No. Who's better looking than Robert Saleh far?
We got 5 minutes.
Your thoughts? Four minutes to figure it out.
Oh, my goodness.
You guys can think about this as long as you want.
I think Kevin O'Connell's a good-looking guy.
He's good-looking, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put Kevin O'Connell on that list.
That's the Vikings coach?
Yeah. He's
with
next
quarterback. Right? Yeah, with a hat on.
Yeah, he's more right of a hat guy. Or Brock was right. Matt LaFleur's not too bad.
Yeah.
Is Sean McVay not tall enough? Is that striking against Sean McVay?
I can't handle the way Sean McVay talks.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's out of the league now, so you don't have to worry about him. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just saying, like,
D'Amico Ryan's a good looking guy.
KJ's right about Canales.
Yeah, D'Amico's good looking, but Canales is, I think this is now a no brainer conversation, right? he's now got that. Although, Mike McDaniel's kind of.
How did you guys get here?
Huh? What?
Let's take
a quick break. Oh, I blacked out for a minute. Let me take a quick break. Come back to the KJ Wright Show. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
253 says Canales and Saleh are 1-2. I'm a happily married 41-year-old straight man. JD in the 509 says, why did nobody mention Pete Carroll? I hope I look that good at 92. All right, he's not 92. That's just wrong. How dare you? What's What's the matter with you guys? We will spend a lot more time today talking about Mike Macdonald as we wait to find out if he is going to be the next Seahawks head coach, but certainly some momentum moving in that direction as the news came out this morning from Tom Pelissero that he is having a second interview today after an interview yesterday in Baltimore. He flew back here, so certainly that lends some credibility to the idea that he could be next. Mm-hmm. We got KJ, and the reason you're technically in today is to talk about what we saw on Championship weekend.
Yeah.
We had the AFC Championship game, NFC game. Let me start. Let's start with the AFC, with because you mentioned it earlier, shutting down Patrick Mahomes in the second half. What does it take? Why is it so hard to beat a team like Kansas City?
Because Kansas City does not run traditional. They don't play traditional football. They are what we call, what I call backyard football. We talked about this last year, Brock. They'll call a route. Let's say run a dragon, but you say, hey, run a sloppy dragon. Like, what is a sloppy dragon?
What's a dragon? Is that a drag route?
It's a slant flat.
Yeah, okay. Dragons.
That makes sense.
Yep. And run a sloppy dragon. And they do that and just, hey, Kelsey, what they're saying is go get wide open. Go run a creative. Look at what the defense is in and just find your sweet spot. I'm coming to you no matter what the coverage is, no matter zone, man, you're the guy. And just the chemistry that they have, the creativity that they have, Patrick Mahomes' ability to maneuver in the pocket, outside of the pocket, keep his eyes downfield, they're extremely, extremely hard to beat. I played them about four times, only beat them once when they came here a few years ago. And so shutting them down in the second half,
yep.
Whew, that's extremely impressive to take Patrick Mahomes and have him two quarters in the AFC Championship game and it scores 0 points.
Gosh, didn't it feel like Baltimore pressed though, KJ? They just pressed their guys.
Offensively.
Pressed. They lost their cool. They're throwing helmets. They're hitting. Yep. They just got in that moment. And instead of, you know, relaxing, and these guys will tell you all the time, like just a relaxed muscle, just a loose muscle is one that's going to be the most explosive. And they just gripped that bat too tight.
Yeah, and I watched the film. They had so many RPOs. And I'm like, okay, Lamar, hand the ball off. It's a light box, hand the ball off, but he chooses to spit it out to a receiver for an incomplete pass.
Yep.
Hey, Zay Flowers, you got a big-time play. Don't push a guy and get a penalty. And for dang sure, don't hold the ball out on the one-inch line and it causes a fumble. And just the game plan, just the execution, just the energy, it was not there.
You know what I would have done? If somebody had asked me what the Ravens could have done differently in that game, I would have just had Lamar run the ball more.
Just run.
Just let that. I mean, he's their best player when he runs the ball. I think he's a good passer. This is not a Lamar can't throw conversation, but he is beyond elite at running the ball, and he just didn't run enough in that game.
Did you see the quarterback power that they drew up on third, fourth, and one?
He got like 40
yards.
But then they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
Let's not do that again.
I'm glad we're not getting their offensive coordinator because, quite frankly, I wasn't too impressed with what he did in that game. So on the other side of it, the NFC game.
Yeah.
Brock and I argued about this yesterday. I'll argue with anybody. Bump came in. I argued with him yesterday. I honestly believe that what Dan Campbell did in that game was like a criminal offense, going for it on those two fourth downs and then running the ball on second down near the goal line near the end of the game was awful. But what is he doing going for those fourth downs?
What Dan
Kick
Quinn
the freaking
did,
field goal.
What Dan Quinn did was, let's say I'm going to get a surgery on my right knee. I got an ACL tear. What Dan Quinn did was he operated on your shoulder.
Dan Campbell.
He operated on your shoulder. Just extremely irresponsible, extremely negligent. Mm. Just like, what are you doing in this situation?
How would you have felt if you were on that team?
I would have been livid.
And you are up two scores on the road against the best team in your conference, a better team than you. And he decided to go for it on fourth and three rather than kick the field goal.
Well, in the moment, Salk, in the moment, you're playing ball. In the moment, you're like, there's nothing we can do. Only thing we can do is be positive. Only thing we can do is just hope and pray that we execute on this. But when you get in that locker room, when you're sitting next to your boy, and you're like, man, what the heck was he thinking? Why did we do that? Why did he put us in this position? We should be going to Las Vegas right now just simply off of analytics, simply off of stats. Like, you cannot do that to us in this situation. You cannot run the ball under 2 minutes with three timeouts and burn a timeout. That's just football 101.
Yeah, that one was ridiculous. Yes. There was no argument for that. The first one, I will argue.
Pete decided to throw the ball second and goal from the one.
Similar.
I mean, it is. I know people get mad about it, but that's exactly why Pete did that, because of the timeout usage. Yeah. It was a slightly different situation, but there is some similarity to it. I don't know how you allow something like that to continue. And I just, do you believe in the whole momentum thing? The way it gave that team life?
You can feel momentum in the stands. You can feel it just go from one energy to a completely different type of energy. Players feel it. The fans feel it. Coaches feel it. And you best believe, like, when they did that, everyone gets excited. We have a chance. Here we go. Let's go execute. You'll do your thing, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey. So you feel all that energy. Brock, what did you say about?
The first one I understood a little bit. Number one, the kicker is a 45% from that distance. He's a very, very average kicker. He's been a bunch of places. So the first one I kind of understood. In fact, play was there to be made, and kid just dropped the ball, unfortunately, Reynolds. The second one, you've got to tie the game. All the momentum is turned. You have to tie the game. That's a chip shot. You're going to be tied. Put the pressure back on them in their building. That second one was criminal. And then, running the ball can't happen. So I don't disagree completely. I do think there was room on the first fourth down because the numbers were probably, somewhat split. Mm-hmm. And it's there. Like, you catch that ball, it's there, and you go up and you could finish the game. But they didn't. They didn't get it done.
But here's the flip side. We got so enamored. We got so in awe with Dan Campbell being aggressive. He goes for it on fourth down. He knows how to just let it loose. People became so enamored. I was looking at it, and I'm like, this is dangerous. It's like doubling down when you had a two at the blackjack table. Yep. It's just silly to do such things. And you look at how their offseason is going to look. What is their offseason going to look like?
Answering to that question, I would think over and over again.
Lost the AFC championship. We fought so hard. Mm-hmm. Our city hasn't been here since God knows when. It's going to be a really, really long offseason. And good job they have Ben Johnson coming back. Really happy for him. That was a bold move. If he did decide, we don't know. If he did decide to say, hey, this wasn't the right fit for me. That's how I got reported. That's how I interpreted it. But kudos to him saying, these teams don't fit. Let me come back to Detroit.
Pretty good O-line, man. That O-line's all going to be back. Most of all those weapons offensively are going to be back. Your tight ends, your receivers, your running backs, your quarterback, So pretty good tools to work with offensively. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they've got some challenges. Now, on the flip side, where you at on Brock Purdy? Where are you at on San Francisco?
This may be a bold statement, Brock.
Uh-oh.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm about to talk quarterbacks. Mm-mm. But I put Brock Purdy's mental toughness up there with Tom Brady's. Bear with me here.
Why do you say that?
Bear with me here. Brock's shaking his head.
No, I don't think so. I think it's an interesting debate. I'm curious where you go with this.
I look at the way that he played in the first, actually both games. It wasn't the best in the first half, but he stayed at it. He trusted himself. He had that look at the quarterback position like, I'm not rattled. I'm not bothered. I have a next play mentality. I still believe in myself. I believe in the game plan. And I'm just one play from getting this thing turned around. I know he hear all the media noise, all the criticism, all the critiques. He still shows up on game day, and he is simply a winner. He is simply a winner, and I'm a personal fan of him.
Kyle Shanahan is demanding. He's a demanding head coach. His father was demanding. His father's O-line coach, who Mark Schlereth played for, and Alex Gibbs lasted about, 2 months with Pete Carroll. Not going to work. Not his style. Mm-hmm. And the number of times, if you watch in that game, where Kyle Shanahan's covering his face like this with his play sheet, and he's in Purdy's ear.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what he's saying to him there, right? And instead of folding, instead of flinching as Trey Lance did and Garoppolo did and guys did, this dude doesn't flinch.
Nope.
So that's I feel that completely. And if we spin this conversation back to Mike McDonald, the head coach, that same look that Brock Purdy gives, that same headstrong, that same I got this is exactly what John Schneider's looking for in this next head coach, is he not?
Yep, absolutely. Don't flinch. Don't flinch. When you see a player on your team that you know they got something in them, they got something special in them, demand it. Bring it out of them. Call it out. And I see Shanahan, too. I'm like, what is he? He looks so mad.
Yes.
you're not hiding your face. We can see what you're saying.
Yep.
And so it's really cool to see Brock Purdy's story earn a starting spot. get the first round pick. You know, he's traded. He's traded. We believe in you. You're our guy.
There's it's impossible not to make Tom Brady comps with him. It just stories are similar enough that I think it's really hard not to make Brady comps. One guy sixth round, one guy was drafted in the seventh round. One guy, you know, came in when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. The other guy came in because Garoppolo and Trey Lance kind of faltered or got hurt in front of him. Both guys had immediate success, were constantly doubted for mostly throwing the ball short and being system quarterbacks and game managers. And both were at their absolute very best late in games. They do it differently. Obviously, Purdy can run a whole lot more than Brady can. I think Brady's got a much stronger arm than Brock Purdy does. So I'm not saying they're the same exact type of player, but it's hard to ignore some of the similarities between the two of them. And I'm not exactly psyched that the Seahawks are going to have to try to shut that down over the course of the next however many years, because Purdy might be the real deal.
And that's the question. You have to look at John Lynch. John Lynch, what direction are you going to go with this team? You have talent at every position. You had 9 Pro Bowlers, a gang of all pros this football season. What is he going to do with this football team? And when it comes to paying the quarterbacks, we know they demand the top dollars out of everyone on the football field. How does he decide how to move with Brock Purdy, how to structure this? Do I believe in him that much to put him up there with the top 5, top 10 guys? And so in the next few 2 years, we're going to see which direction this Niners team go, because the salary cap, well, obviously we know what that is. They have a lot of talent on this squad.
I'm trying to remember, how did Mike McDonald do against San Fran this year? I'm trying to remember that. Oh, it's a good thing I got my phone right here. How about 5 picks? How about Brock Purdy's most humiliating game? How about knocking Debo around, knocking Trent Williams out of that game, knocking dudes left and right? How about that defense doing something into Purdy that really nobody else has done before?
Sam Darnold had to come in the game, but Sam, just get in.
Yes, he did.
This day is a wash.
It is a wash. And we don't have an answer for this. You don't think that also is appealing for John Schneider, as he sat down with Mike McDonald yesterday, as they may have been on the flight all the way back last night and today and in the building for a second interview? How are you going to do against these guys? How's your horsepower? What do you always say, KJ, when you match up with the Niners, which you've not matched up well the last 5 times? Can you match Shanahan's horsepower? This guy seems to be able to.
Look at Shanahan, top 5 rushing offense, top 5 when it comes to passing, always scoring in the red zone. Kyle Shanahan is the best play caller of this generation. You made that team look like that.
Yep.
You created 5 interceptions. You made Christian McCaffrey do absolutely nothing on the field. What are we talking about, guys? Sign the dotted line. Come sign the dotted line. Well,
KJ's ready.
And I'll tell you.
I know what we're talking about, because those are the things that he did as a defensive coordinator, and that's just not the same job. And that doesn't mean he's not going to be a great coach. We'll find out whether he's got all those other abilities. But it's one skill of many that coach needs to have in order to successfully lead a building. I mean, you saw Pete Carroll do it for years. Not that Pete's not an X's and O's guy, but was that Pete's great strength?
Yes. What's that? What's the question?
Being the X's and O's guy? It wasn't his great strength.
Yes.
Great strength was the culture he set for your building all those years.
And so if McDonald does come in here, here's the $1 million question, guys. What does his staff look like?
Give me cut number 9 here, Maura. Give me cut number 9 from Ian Rappaport, because I think this is an important part of it, and I'll share the story once again with a guy that Ian Rappaport is comparing Mike McDonald to.
It sounds like he has been really dynamic in some of these interviews. I had one person involved with one of the head coach searches who said this was the best interview we had by far. He is young, he is bright, sort of the defensive Sean McVay is how he was described to me. And the fact that Seattle was willing to wait until after the Super Bowl to talk to him gives me Shane Steichen vibes. That makes me think he is a really, really strong candidate in Seattle. We will see where it goes today, but certainly that is one to watch.
KJ, I've told this story before. I don't know if you have heard it, but when Sean McVay interviewed, young guy, really young, and he interviewed with the Rams and Kevin Demoff, my agent's son, who's the president there, and he's in the room and they're interviewing him. And man, they really like him. They are enamored with him. Everything that Rappaport just said, this guy is bright. He's ahead of it. He's got a photographic memory. He's so stinking sharp. But can he hire a staff?
Yeah.
Can he put people around him? And you know what Sean McVay did ahead of schedule? He had Wade Phillips online on his cell phone because he knew that was coming. And he said, here you go. I'll leave the room. You guys talk to Wade. because I think Wade, you know, is going to tell you whether or not I could put a staff together. And Wade Phillips is like, yeah, you guys hire Sean. I'm his D coordinator.
Yeah. Look,
and it was over. Mm-hmm. And then that room was like, this is our guy.
I will say this. He is young, and with youth comes, we're talking about relationship. This is a relationship type of business. I know this guy over here. I know that guy over there. I don't know how many guys that he knows across the league that he trusts.
Not a ton, man.
Yeah,
right?
That's
well, and this may
been
be
in one
marriage.
Spot.
This may end up being more of an arranged marriage if that happens. I mean, we've heard from Brady last week that some of the other coaches that they've brought in maybe are to get more familiar with them, to maybe bring them in as a coordinator. You heard Mike Kafka's name bandied about quite a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he ends up being, you know, an arranged marriage as offensive coordinator, and you got to give him, you know, an assistant or an associate head coach title in order to kind of, you know, leave New York and get him here and kind of give him a quote unquote, you know, promotion. But we could see something like that. You know, maybe Patrick Graham or maybe Ejiro Averro. I'm really struggling with this, but I'm trying really hard to get it right. Maybe one of those guys does end up. I mean, Averro's a free agent. He could come here and be the defensive coordinator when it's all said and done. So maybe there are ways that John can help him out, and maybe that's one of the reasons they went through such an extensive process here to get to know all these people.
Yeah, and it's going to take John Snyder. It's going to take him to using 15 years of being around this league.
Because he's got relationships.
He has relationships. He's going to have to make those phone calls. Hey, I'm building together a staff. I love what you do over there. Come be my receivers coach. I love what you're doing here. Hey, come be my linebackers coach. Because McDonald's only bringing about, I would say, four guys maybe. Harbaugh's not going to let guys leave that building.
Who do you think he wants as his quarterback if he comes? We're all if. I mean, we still don't know what's happening. But I wonder what that meeting is like with Geno Smith, because he's going to have to decide in the next 2 weeks, is Geno Smith his quarterback next year? Is that the direction he wants to go? I wonder what he thinks about some of the other big decisions to make on this team. Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks and. What will he think of a DK Metcalf? I'm curious. I mean, there are so many interesting questions for a new head coach here in Seattle.
Yeah, because what he's going to do when he first comes on the scene, he's going to go straight to that office, turn on that tape, and see, what am I working with? Who am I working with? He's going to talk to people in the building. How's this guy in the midst of adversity? How's this guy with coming in the building early and leaving late? He's going to do all of his homework, finding out who are my guys? Who am I working with? And obviously, John Snyder is going to be a guy that he leans on heavily. And they're going to have a really good relationship to say, I like this guy I don't want. I'm familiar with this guy in Baltimore. Right. Bring him over here.
Then let me ask you the most important question. Do you think he'd want Russell Wilson to be his quarterback?
This was asked
of me yesterday, and I kept saying, like, oh, come on, stop. There's nothing there. But without Pete here, I know that it would take some sort of a miracle for John and Russ's agent, Mark Rogers, to even communicate for 5 minutes. But, like, is there any chance Russ ends up back here?
I don't think there's a chance. There's no chance. Not a chance. That ship has long sailed. Hey, you did your job. You did your job here for 10 years. It's not happening. I cannot see Russell Wilson coming back. I don't think Russ wants to come back. Does Russ want to come back?
Mm-mm.
I don't think Russ even wants to come back.
Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe if Russ were 29 and dynamic, right? Because he's just experienced Lamar and he knows he's a defensive guy and he's had to face Mahomes and all of that stuff. But that's just not at this age and stage where Russ is. Yes. I would say this, and this is what I think I love the most. The more we talk about Mike McDonald, the way KJ my brain works, is all these little thought bubbles come into my head. Here's the thing about Mike McDonald. In Michigan, you know what he did? He built up a defensive line that was elite. And, you know, there's a lot of their four down stuff that you see other people trying to imitate and catch on. And Jesse Minter, who took over for him at Michigan, kept a lot of it in play. They played eight dudes on that defensive line, and he knows that's where it starts.
Yep.
And he goes to Baltimore, and it is the same thing. And he gets the most out of Van Noy and gets the most out of Clowney, but he's got eight dudes that he rotates through there. That is, I think, what is most appealing to me. He's got an eye for that.
Yes.
An area that's been a struggle. An area that's not been as dominant as it needs to be since really your era. Mm-hmm. That group is going to be, I think, where this team is built from the inside out.
And I look at our roster now. We have some guys on our roster that could imitate what we just saw this past year in Baltimore.
Yep.
It didn't necessarily get brought to life this year, obviously, especially in the run game, especially in the red zone, third down. But we, if you put those guys in the right position with the talent that we have on our defensive side of the football, I think we can look scary similar to what we saw in Baltimore. Mm. We know what Witherspoon brings to the table. If Quandre Diggs, he's going to be all over the place. Obviously, we've got to see what happens with Jordan. We don't know what happens in this situation. I like our three.
You're going to have to hit, KJ.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hit. You, if you're going to be around here, I mean, you think of the Ravens way, and you've played them through your years, and mm-hmm. you've watched them, and you went toe-to-toe with them, and Lamar Jackson on a fourth down to Harbaugh, like, I got this. And they ran it right at you. Like, that had to be one of the most physical teams that you played, right?
Yeah. Let's hit. we go tackle in training camp? Are they going to tackle in camp?
I will say this. There is no team that we've watched around the league over the last 15 years that I've liked more the way their style more than the Ravens.
Well,
I mean, Tennessee's tried to bring it, and that's one of the reasons I was into the Vrabel idea. But there's nobody whose style I've liked more consistently than the Baltimore Ravens.
I'll say this. When I was here in Seattle, I'm like, God, those guys are just negligent over there, just tackling, just going full speed, hitting each other, getting hurt all the time. What are they thinking? When you look at ball, when you look at the toughness that you need as a football team in December, in the playoffs, throughout the season, just pounding guys left and right, I believe when you do lay down that proper foundation in training camp, it pays off.
And you playing the Niners and Rams?
Yep.
And McVay and Shanahan ain't going nowhere, and Purdy ain't going nowhere? You playing those teams? Man. You got to win your division?
It pays off.
All right. We're going to find out. Mike McDonald is here in Seattle for a second interview today. Tom Pelissero reported that earlier today. Does it mean he's the next head coach? Not definitively, but it sure leads a pretty good trail.
Put some logs in that chimney with that smoke, right? There's some logs
like
in that chimney.
A little Hansel and Gretel thing where we're watching the little, watching the trail all the way back home. It sure makes a whole lot of sense. So we'll see if that gets announced later today. KJ, thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you coming in and with exciting breaking news going on and everything else. We get a week off of football this week, and then we got a Super Bowl.
What are you talking about? We're talking flag football next week.
Yeah, no, we're not. You know, we're not.
Flag football.
You know,
yes.
We're not. No.
Maybe the Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
Maybe watch the Senior Bowl Saturday, KJ. I'm going to be watching it. Maybe watch a little Senior Bowl.
I got a funny Senior Bowl story for y'all when I come in.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh,
good. Senior Bowl?
Oh, yes. That's a good 7-day
really?
Tease.
Did you get into a fight?
No, I didn't.
Ray Roberts did, right? Wasn't that the Senior Bowl that Ray Roberts got into a fight?
Yeah. I was asking KJ about some Pro Bowl stories, too. So maybe, do you have any of those you want to share maybe next week?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you made a Pro Bowl?
I did.
Oh,
did y'all tell Brock how you embarrassed me last week?
How did? Oh, yes. Brock, I didn't even tell you. Poor KJ. He's been excluded from his own community now. Because it was really sad. He tried to ask me who was singing a song. It's like, well, it's the Fugees. And he thought he'd got me, and I was like telling him a story about Praz, and he didn't know who Praz was. And Brock, I know the noted rap aficionado that you are. You're a big fan of Praz, so you would have known. But KJ took some abuse on the text line.
Man, the text line. They usually are nice to me, but
not that time.
Yeah, they got after me last time.
That was very rough. KJ, great stuff as always.
Yes,
thanks, man. Love having you in. We'll be right back. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com.